fickle, I'll say it that way, the fickle nature of humans. And we haven't changed any in our makeup, in our demeanor, in our nature. John chapter 12, look at verse 1. Then 6 days before the Passover came, then Jesus 6 days before the Passover came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Well, don't you imagine he was the center of attention? Here's a guy who'd come back from the dead, sitting there in the living room. I mean, I'm sure everybody wanted to ask him a question or two. Verse number 3, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Now, verse 12 through verse 15 is the heart of this passage. Look at it, verse 12. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him, cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. Let's pray. Lord, now I pray you would just encourage our hearts here with your word. Pray for these just a couple of minutes here. You would, the Holy Spirit, guide me in what I say and in the application. Thank you for what's already going on in this service. And I pray this would be the crowning moment now when you speak to us from your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's a thought for you this morning, very quickly. These same people in John 12 that were praising him, these same people that had strewn the branches of the palm tree before him, these same ones who had said, Blessed is the King of Israel, that same crowd, just days later, would be crying something far different. That same crowd would be saying, Crucify him. How the human heart can change so quickly. One day they're praising him and they're saying, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. They're even ascribing to him the fact that he is the King of Israel. And just a few days later, they said with one accord to Pilate, We have no king but Caesar. Just a few days. Now what happened, folks? What changed them so quick? Here's the message. He was not the kind of Jesus Christ they were looking for. Do you know why they praised him here on this day? Because they fully expected him to make a triumphal ride over to Caesar's palace and to declare himself King of Kings and Lord of Lords and throw Rome off the ruling party and set up the kingdom on earth. That's what those Jews expected. They had the Old Testament. They knew that one day a king would come to sit on the throne of David. Amen? They knew all that. But when they listened to what this man on the colt was saying to them, this man who made statements like this, My kingdom is not of this world. When they heard him say that. And then when they watched him a few days later and he was arrested and he didn't even fight back. And they watched him and he didn't call up an army. In fact, when one of his disciples attempted to go to battle for him and Peter drew out the sword, Jesus said to Peter, Put your sword away. I've not come for that purpose this time. And so Jesus wasn't what they were looking for. So they said, Well, he's not the kind of Savior we want. He's not the king that we desire. Off with him. Next. I want to ask you something, folks. Has God ever disappointed you? Now, before you answer too quickly, let me tell you what I mean by that. Do you know God disappoints a great deal of number of people on our planet? I mean by that, when God does something that goes against what people want him to do, when God doesn't answer prayers in the way that they think they ought to be answered, they can be as quick to turn on him as these people in John chapter 12 were. Has God ever disappointed you? I know God doesn't do anything wrong. I know he's sinless. But if there's ever a disappointment in how God does a thing or why he does it, I'm going to tell you something. The deficiency in understanding is not on God's part. It's on our part. Do you know what God knew all the time? God knew all the time that if these Jews had just waited and had just trusted him, the day would come when this same king would come again and give the Jews the kingdom on this earth and set up his throne in Jerusalem and rule the nations with a rod of iron. But they weren't willing to wait. They said, we don't want to wait. We want it now. How many of you are animal lovers here? Any of you enjoy animals? I spent about an hour, maybe an hour and a half yesterday, less than 10 feet away from the biggest, baddest horse I ever saw in my life. And I really am going to be brief here. This horse, now I'm not a horseman, but if you're a horseman, you know what this means. This horse was about 17 hands tall. That's how you measure horses. How many of you knew that? Sure you did. That equates to, now from what I can understand about these things, that the you measure a horse from his hoof to the high part of his shoulder. The withers. Yeah, the withers. I'll teach you something here if you'll listen, Brother Vaughn. But if that horse, if you measure him from the top of his head to the sole of his hoof, if he's standing up, he's 7.5, maybe 8 feet tall. Weighed about 1,500 pounds, maybe more. This is a big, bad horse. And I'm a pretty big fella. But when I stood next to that horse, and his head was about this far from my head, and he starts sucking in wind with those big nostrils, it's a little intimidating. You know what I thought about, folks? I thought about the animals that you read about in Scripture associated with the Lord's first coming and his second coming. Now, you just read what kind of animal he came riding in on here on Palm Sunday. Did you see that again? It was even predicted. It said in verse 14, Jesus, when he had found a young ass. Listen, there's significance in that animal. If you study the Old Testament, you'll find that when kings came to a certain town declaring peace, during peacetime, a king would ride into the town on an ass because that's a peacetime animal. However, if a king came riding into your town on horseback, he didn't come in peace. He came to fight. I want to give you a verse. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 31. You know what that verse says? It says, the horse is prepared against the day of battle. Horses are battle animals. You don't ride a donkey into battle. You imagine? Not very imposing. How many of you have seen these police officers on horseback in your big cities? You know, I've watched those things. I've watched those clips. You know, I don't care how big and bad the men are in that crowd. When those horses roll up on them, those horses make a wide berth. People just start moving for them. There's something intimidating about a horse. You know why? It's a beast of battle. And here's the message to you this morning. The Lord came riding into that town on that ass to show these people, if they'd just been watching, if they'd listened, if they'd just listened to what he said, that he came the first time not as a conquering king in battle. He came the first time to die for the sins of the world. And by dying for the sins of the world, he came to make peace between God and man. That's why he rode the ass in 2,000 years ago. But if you know your Bible, over in Revelation chapter 19, John said, I saw heaven opened and a white horse. Jesus was riding on the white horse. And behind him, that verse says, the armies of heaven on horseback. You see, what those Jews didn't see was if they'd just waited on God, if they just had the faith to say, it's not how we expect it, but his way's always right, so we'll just trust him. He was showing them, I've come in peace this first time. But folks, when our Savior comes to this earth again, he's not coming in peace anymore. He's coming as the conquering King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if you doubt his intention, read that passage in Revelation 19. That same passage says, out of his mouth goeth a sharp, two-edged sword. And with it, he smites the adversary, the false prophet, and the Antichrist, just with the word of his mouth. And as we think about this crowd here 2,000 years ago, they watched our Savior roll into town, and they had their preconceived idea of what they thought he would do. They thought this was their day in the sun. They thought he's going to come now and restore the kingdom to Israel. This is the day the prophets have foretold. This is the day we've been waiting for. This is it. Our king has finally come. But when instead they saw him crowned, not with a crown of gold, but with a crown of thorns, and they saw him being mocked by the Romans, he didn't fit their idea of what a king ought to be. And so they turned on him. You know, all over this world, there are men and women who are frankly not interested in Jesus Christ because he's not the kind of Savior they'd like to have. But folks, you've got to come on his terms or you don't come at all. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I trust you folks here, you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and I believe you love the Lord. I want to remind you of something. Sometimes he will not respond to you in the way you think he ought to respond. Sometimes his ways, very often his ways are not your ways. His thoughts are not your thoughts. I want to remind you something you already know. When those times come, remember, he's always right.
Amen.
It may not be what you had hoped or what you had expected. He certainly wasn't the kind of Savior these Jews here wanted. They were not interested in a bleeding, bloody sacrifice. They wanted a king. They wanted power. They wanted authority. If they had only listened to our Lord, he was trying to tell them, I've come to die now, but the day is coming. I will return as the King of Kings. I will depose the leaders of this world. I will have my kingdom. I want to encourage some of you dear folks here. You've been praying about things and God hasn't answered the way you thought he would or hoped he would. Maybe his wisdom has confounded you, as it often does. And maybe you're frankly disappointed with what you're seeing. Just trust him. Just wait on him. If he's made you a promise, he will keep it. He knows best when and where and how. Let's don't be like these people in John 12 who one day said, he's our king, and the next day they said, away with him. Learn to resign your will to his will. Say, Lord, it may not be the way I'd chosen, the way I'd hoped. But say with David, the psalmist, when he said in the Psalms, as for God, his way is perfect.